Let's go.
Welcome to Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast. We want to wish everybody a happy Easter. We're recording this Sunday morning. I'm here with Cindy and Dad, and we'd like to thank our sponsors, Spread.ca, First Nation-owned online casino and sportsbook, tailored to Canadians. Sign up now and enter the promo Grapes, and they'll match a deposit up to $500.
That's a pretty good deal.
It is. And then you get, for your first sports bet, you get $25. So if you're a Blue Jay fan or you're a baseball fan, you can bet on baseball, and you get 25 spins on the big wheel for some big bucks.
I'm asking you, Tim, as we hear here now, you mentioned the Blue Jays. Does the first baseman, we won't mention his name. What's his name? The Vlad?
Vlad Jr., we call him.
I say by July, he'll be a DH. I think he's trying hard on first base. Can't play third base. He got a good third baseman.
But he cost him.
He cost him the game.
He cost him the game, the second game for sure.
His foot comes off the bag. He does the stretch good, but unfortunately his foot comes off the bat twice. And I say he'll be a DH by July. And he can hit. There's no doubt about that. And he's lost a lot of weight. But Blue Jays are pretty good, though. They look pretty good. And when he gets Springer back, I follow them that close. Okay, go ahead, Tim.
So, well, I think the big news today is in hockey, and it's not very good news, is
no.
The Vancouver Canucks, was it 14 or 16?
14.
Players have come down. Well, they don't have COVID. They're in COVID protocol, which means they might have been exposed to somebody that had it or they've tested positive for it.
Now, what happens if this is in the playoffs? What happens now? What happens if they go into the playoffs and 14 guys, what do they do?
Yeah, I mean, they said it'll be, you know, at least 2 weeks until they think they're back playing. And they don't even know if they're going to get all their games in.
Yeah, that's
why they're talking about it. It might have to go back into a bubble for the playoffs. I mean, because you just, you know, what if they're up 3-0 on Toronto and all of a sudden everybody gets COVID and they got to cancel the game?
What are they going to do? Well, that's not my problem. I don't have, but when I like to talk about, I like to thank Ron McLean and Hockey Night in Canada for doing a thing on Bobby Schmatz. And, I looked up his record, and I keep saying he's got 27 goals, 26 goals. He had 27 goals. He had 61 points, and he couldn't get a job the next year. 61 points!
Again, I think we talked about this a little bit last week, and unfortunately, it was a sad moment in the Cherry household, Cindy, when we heard that Bobby passed away last week.
On his birthday, and his buddy held his hand. Jerry Sillers, Driller, I call him Driller. I remember he was in Rochester. He had a pulled groin the whole time. He tried to come back too early. Driller tried to come back too early. But anyhow, Bobby passed away on his birthday. And
on that year, you said he had 27 points, or 27 goals.
27 goals.
Goals. The only guy that had more goals on that was Tiger Williams, had 35.
Imagine that, how tough the league was. Well, Tiger, they didn't want to touch Tiger because Tiger be in front of the net. I mean, he could throw him pretty good. And Tiger was a pretty colorful guy. Remember he came, what was the joke? He came and they said, if you happen to get a goal, I want you to ride your stick.
Right. That was when Tiger Williams left Toronto, it was a big deal because he was...
He was really popular.
The three fan favorites were Lanny, Daryl Sittler, and Tiger Williams.
I think Tiger Williams, he was more popular than anybody.
So he left. He went to Vancouver, and Bobby Schmatz said to him, we're going back to Toronto, and if you win or if we score, you have to ride your stick like a broom.
He didn't want Schmatz around.
And he said, you have to, you got to go to center ice and like ride it like a horse.
And then on, you're ripping the horse.
So he scores, and if you Google that, or you go on YouTube and say, you know, Tiger Williams goal versus Toronto, you'll see Bobby Schmatz point to center ice.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he points to center ice, and Tiger puts a stick between his legs, pretends like he's riding a horse.
And that's probably on Hockey Night in Canada, too, on TV, right?
Yeah, it was Saturday night.
Oh, Saturday night.
I saw that a few times, too. Boy, if anybody couldn't remember do that when, in our club.
Remember when... Ty Domi used to do that And you told him to, Ty Domi used to ride his
stick. Ty did that once.
Once,
too.
And then you said, him. And you come were the on. Only, pardon me?
The only guy who would say that to Ty. To
yeah, that. I mean, you were the only guy that could say, what are you doing?
What do you, like Ty, you know.
Yeah, no one else would tell him to knock it off. Well, maybe Leanne would, but you and her could tell him what to do.
But the other thing that was nice, again, about Bobby Schmatz was Don Brennan in the Ottawa Sun.
Oh, Tom Brennan did a great job on him.
Did a good article. And the Ottawa Senators, Jake Batherson, who got 2 points on Saturday night against Montreal.
Yeah.
Nicknamed, he had his nickname is Schmatzy because he saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, out of a clear blue sky, Drake Batherson, he's a good hockey player. He's having a great year. And he said he wanted to be called Schmatzy.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know if Schmatzy even knew that. I probably he did know it.
Huh.
Yeah. And,
You know, we'll talk a couple about, you know, I remember he had a lot of injuries. Bobby Schmatz.
Oh, he did, boy.
And I remember one, and I think this is why you were really against the icings, that he was racing for an icing,
and he slipped,
and he fell feet first into the boards and broke his heels. And the fireman, said to you, the only time he's ever seen injuries like that is, or I think it was the doctor actually said it, the only time that he saw an injury like that is people jumping out of second-story windows to get away from a fire.
Wow.
And what was the guy from Detroit? I remember the guy. What was his name? The guy from Detroit. Remember you told me his name?
No. Pat Peak.
Pat Peak. That's the name. Pat Peak. This is a true story, Cindy. This is a true story. This is hard to believe. He had a little daughter. And he said, now, we're going to start watching Coach's Corner. We're living in Detroit, I think he was. And he skated. He tried to skate with two broken on an icing too.
Yeah, he raced for an icing, and yeah. I think somebody kind of semi tripped him.
Somebody tripped him, and
broke both ankles,
and he had to have steel in him. So anyhow, he said this is after he retires. So he has his little daughter, and his little daughter can't sit up. That's how small she is. He says, okay, we're going to start watching Coach's Corner. And he sets her up, and he sits down, and I do a thing on Pat Peak.
What are the odds
on that?
Yeah,
what are the odds on that? And I showed him breaking his heels and you know, on the icing and that. And I did a story, and Pat Peak never was the same and all that and everything. And he never was the same. He was a pretty good hockey player.
I think he retired after that.
He did. Well, he couldn't skate.
So what was the injury that Schmatzy had when he had that cast? Remember, he was over at the house by the pool?
Garland. Off the top of my head, I think it was a guy named Scott Garland who was killed in a car accident, by the way, if I remember. And he hit him, and he was cutting along the blue line, you know, that cut in. And Schmatzy's in the leg, and he tore the ligament right off his thing, and they stapled it on. And when he was over at the house, at our house, someday we must talk
full,
about this.
Well, we're there. There was a full cast from his ankle right up
well,
to
Well, no, Cindy, it was kind of a cast. It was like he had ace bandages on.
Oh, yeah.
And
he was on crutches.
Yeah, he was on crutches, and it just sweat, and I think he got staph infection. And he felt, remember, mosquitoes were coming.
Remember what happened? I was going to say that. Remember we were in that pool in Boston, and we kept saying, we're pushing our luck being out here at 6:30. The mosquitoes are going to come.
And they were monsters.
Boy, they were huge back then.
And you could hear them coming.
And you could hear them. And the wind died, and they would cover you, these mosquitoes.
Yeah,
and
I remember
we
that.
All, do you remember that? We ran into the house, and Bobby was going with his crutches,
and
he
fell.
And he's crawling to the house, and he's going, help me, help me. And he's being attacked by these mosquitoes, and no way we were getting out. And he goes, I can't believe you people wouldn't help me.
And he got staph infection. And,
yeah, I remember that, yeah. It was all blown up. I remember he was a doctor. He was in the training room, and his knee was like the size of a grapefruit. Like, it was it was all... And so they had to stick a needle in to drain it out. So the doctor said to him, he goes, okay, we're going to do it on three. So get ready. We're going to do it on three. I don't know why I was standing. I think me and Craig Cheevers, we're watching this, you know. And
nice.
So they go, so he goes, we got to drain it. So he goes, one, two, and he sticks it in on two, right? And Schmatzy just about hit the roof, and they drained it out. And then I remember after he said to the doctor, "Don't ever do that again."
You know, I had my knee drained, left knee drained. Now that I think of it, I went to the doctor, and Dr. Lordy, I remember now, and my leg was swollen. It had water on the knee. They call it water on the knee. And he drained it, but he didn't. He had a big needle inside the needle, and it wasn't out. And he says, "Okay, stand still." So I'm laying there, and you know when you're sick in the hospital, you have that thing that you put down. He put that next to my knee, and he left the needle in there. He left the needle in there, and I'm looking down at it, and he got and pushed all out through the needle. And it come out through the needle into this little thing, and I was out a long time. But anyhow.
But I remember that was part of my childhood. I mean, after every game that you played and practice, you would come home, and my job was to put ice cubes in mom's tea towels. And that was quite the thing. You had to ice your knees all the time.
Well, I used to block shots. I used to be like a dumbhead, block shots. And so we're saying goodbye to Schmatzy. You got some more injuries.
Got a couple more. I mean, I think that, you know, a lot of people were talking that he was the straw boss. And people still don't know kind of what a straw boss was. But you were saying that every time somebody had an issue on the team that didn't want to, and there were some guys who just didn't want to come and talk to you. They were shy or whatever, or like that.
Well, I didn't want to talk to the coach, and Schmatzy was like the, and that's why I talked again. I'm repeating, but Harry Neal, I said, "Harry, we're having a pint one time, Pop," and I said, "Harry, why didn't you want Schmatzy back?" He said, "I couldn't stand him." I couldn't stand him. He said, "Everybody that was having a tough time with me, he'd come in the office." And I think at that time, he was having a tough time with Dennis Kearns. Remember the defenseman, Dennis Kearns?
Yep.
Yeah. And Schmatzy was in all the time. And he says, I couldn't put up with him.
But I remember that. But one of the classic one was he came in to talk to you about Gary Doak.
Gary Doak from Goderich, Ontario. He was a little strange guy. You know, Gary Doak, when I first went there, he was injured all the time. And the reason he was injured all the time, he had the heart of a lion. And he'd run out and hit guys, weighed 200 pounds, and he weighed 180. He was always hurt. So
you're the only coach that told your defenseman, don't hit guys.
I said, I don't want you to hit another person. Well, that's my job. I said, do not hit another person. And I don't think he ever got injured after that. But he was running out trying. I mean,
how many coaches would tell a defenseman don't hit anyone?
Well, he weighed 180 pounds and he's trying to hit guys 200. He was always hurt. And him and Ricky Smith.
Well, you know, just a little bit off topic, you could do that nowadays because of the equipment. You couldn't back then because
he hardly wore any equipment.
Know, like, you know, they just like shoulder pads.
And hardly.
He'd bounce off them.
Yeah, yeah. Bobby Orr, when I think of Bobby. Bobby had hardly any shoulder pads. It never hurt. And his knees, he used to have cotton batten in his knees. I try to tell the guys, cotton batten, like what happens? Yeah, we're getting. But what happens is when the guys have the shin pads and they sweat in the shin pads, they have pads inside, but they get hard. They're hard as a rock. So what we used to do is put the cotton batten between that and the heart and the shin pad, like around the knee, and that's what it helps your knee. It really did help your knee. And I try to tell the guys, and they you know, cotton bat, forget it. So anyhow,
tell about the story.
Okay, here's the story. I'll tell the story, Sidney. So tell me where I'm wrong. I probably was wrong. I remember Schmatzy coming in. He says, "We got a problem." I said, "We got a problem," and I've got 9,000 problems, and he's coming in. And I remember him coming in. He says, "Doki doesn't like his pants. How am I doing so far?"
Well, yeah, I think he said Doki wants a new pair of pants.
Oh, I don't know. Doki doesn't like his pants. I can't remember. Doki doesn't like his pants. I said, "Well, why doesn't he get a new pair? Danny won't give him a new pair." Oh, boy. Now I got Danny. Danny's a trainer. Danny.
And you went to the trainer, so why aren't you?
No, he came in, and I called him, and I said, "Danny," he came in, and I'm sitting at my desk, says, "Give him what he wants. this guy is nuts. He'll be back. He won't. I said, just give him what he wants. Who cares if he wants a new pair of pants? So this is a big thing. So he gives him the new pants or whatever with pants. I don't know. So 2 weeks later, Schmatzy comes in, or was it 2 weeks or something?
Yeah.
He came in. He says, "We got a problem." Another problem? What's the problem? Like he was the straw boss. He was doing all the talking. He says, Doki doesn't like his pants.
Yeah, he wants his old pants back.
Now, I got to call Danny in. Danny's a trainer. I got to tell him he wants his old pants back. See, I told you.
So you took all the grief.
I remember one time. This is a true story. This is a true story. Honestly, the coaches think. So the power play wasn't working. So I called all the power play, and I had a little office, a little wee office. You couldn't believe how small it was. Well, you know. And so I got I'm telling them what I want you to do is something. I forget what it was. I forget what it was. And meanwhile, Danny comes in to tell me a guy's got a broken ankle or something. Meanwhile, Harry Sinden, the general manager, he's sitting above. It was an awful game. I think we won 7-5. We were playing awful. And
so this is in between periods.
So I got the power. I'm trying to tell a power play, and Harry's on the phone saying this is an awful game, and you don't wonder. And you know, people paying. And okay, Harry, I'll try to get the. And I'm trying to tell a power play, and a trainer. He's all upset. The guy's got a broken ankle. This is all at once. Trying to tell. Listen to Harry. Tell a power play and listen to the trainer at the same time. I think we won the game 7-5, but that was a game. You know, I never forgot that game. Now that I think of it, I just happened to hit the TV and Harry was on. I don't know. Lord works mysterious. I hit the Minnesota feed, and Harry was saying, "How did that go?" He said, I know what he said. He said, It's too bad your team, the Minnesota North Stars, doesn't play better in the Boston Garden. We had them. They'd lose 5-2 or something like that. Well, we had a war with them after every game.
Even after you left, you see they set a record in Boston, Minnesota, for the brawl, like the brawls between Minnesota and Boston. And it all started from Harry
going on their television saying he wishes that their team would play better in the Boston Gardens. And I happened to hit the thing, and it went on. I hit the button that went on, and the players.
Yeah, you hit the switch, and it went on the TV in the dressing room, and all the players are listening.
And the players are listening. Actually said, and we could beat them in Boston Gardens. We never used to lose there. Boy, after that, we had a war every time.
Well, that's motivation. For them. I mean, that is.
Oh, and then we did a stupid commercial. Remember that stupid commercial for Lou Nanny?
Yeah, that was. I looked for that on the internet. It was you, Jilly Gilbert,
John Wensink.
You're doing a commercial to promote
I said, I don't think this is a good idea, Harry.
Because what happened was Minnesota was in one division and somebody came into the league, so they moved Minnesota from that division into the Adams division.
Which is your division.
A tough division.
So you said on this commercial, you know, you said, hey guys, guess who's in our division? And they all go, who? And you said Minnesota, and they all laughed. Minnesota. That piece of cake. And then
you guys better be ready. They're going in the iron. And what Lou Nan did, he took and played that before. And I said to Harry, I don't think this is a good idea.
And I remember he was saying, it's to promote the league. We got to promote the league.
Yeah, I said, okay. Promote the league. And Lou Nan played it before every game.
Because I remember the commercial. And again, I looked for it on YouTube and I saw it once. I can't find it again. You said, you're in the iron. Listen, Minnesota, you're in the iron of the league now. You better be ready. And then Lou Nan comes on and says, we'll be ready. And then again, just fight after fight after brawl.
Remember, it was the Pellets, the guy named...
I remember every time there was always an incident when you guys played the North Stars.
And Wensink went over the bench. Remember when Wensink went
over
the bench?
Oh, he challenged the bench?
Challenged the whole bench.
People, if you want to Google that, that is something to see.
He went over to the bench and said, any guy.
And bowed in front of... He bowed in front of the bench.
And they wouldn't come on.
And looked at him.
But that all started with A, Harry... going on the TV in Minnesota saying, you guys don't put up enough fight in Boston.
Yeah.
And then you did that commercial.
And that was it.
That was it.
So, how did we get into that?
So talking about Bobby Schmatz and things. So, but I'm going to, a couple other things about Bobby Schmatz. He is one of four players that did something in the National Hockey League nobody does. Is that, who are the two greatest hockey players in the world ever?
Well, Bobby Orr is one.
And the other one's Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
Bobby Schmatz and three other players were the only guys to play with Bobby Orr and Wayne Gretzky.
What were their names?
Huh. Bobby Schmatz and then Ace Bailey.
Ace, yeah. God love him.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that he died in Twin Towers. He was on one of the planes.
He was on one of the planes with a young scout.
Scout from
if
LA.
If he had hit a red light, he'd have missed it.
A guy named Jim Harrison from Bonneville, Alberta. Played for Chicago.
Jim Harrison had a bad back, and he played for Toronto. I remember he was a pretty good hockey player. He had a bad back, and Jimmy Harrison, yeah.
And then Doug Hicks from Cold Lake, Alberta. Are the only four guys that have played with both Bobby Orr and Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, I didn't know that. Ace Bailey tells a funny story, or Wayne Gretzky tells a funny story. Like, he was pretty thin, eh? Gretzky was pretty thin when he first started out. And he said to Ace Bailey, he said, this guy is always after me all the time. Every time I go on the ice, and he said, look, come over by the bench and skate by our bench. And so Gretzky went over and skated by the bench, you know, close to the board. And all of a sudden he heard whack. And he turned around, and the guy's out cold. And Ace had was sitting on the bench, you know, and he had his glove on. So the guy's chasing Wayne. Whack. And he knocked the guy cold.
He suckered him as he's going.
Suckered him. And another funny story. He wasn't playing in the game. Ace wasn't playing in the game. And they won the championship. Edmonton Oilers won the championship. And Ace went in and put all his equipment on and went in the shower and put his head and let on he was sweating. And Gretzky's skating around outside and he geez, I don't remember him, but his hair is all wet. I don't remember him playing. And looked like he was one of the guys. That was a good idea.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I remember Ace used to wear a white turtleneck. I remember he tried out for our team.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking guy. I remember the white turtleneck.
And, you know, they say a guy's always got a smile on his face. You know, everybody. He really had a smile on his face the whole time. He was a positive guy, and everywhere he went.
Didn't Wayne Gretzky used to wear a white turtleneck every now and
then? Well, one time, but yeah. Ace used to wear one all the time. Harry didn't. They didn't fit in, and he would have fit in. I think he would have fit in our club, perfect.
Yeah, he was like a fourth line penalty killer.
He'd been a penalty killer. Him and Davey Forbes.
Dad, there was quite a stir on the internet. Brandon Dubinsky, who actually had a couple of fights with Crosby. And he always had something going with Crosby, and he had a good fight with Ovechkin. He said he'd take Ovechkin over Crosby anytime.
No, I like Crosby, and I'll tell you why I like Crosby is that, well, first of all, the rumor was that he was the best hockey player in the world for a long time. Remember when he first started out, he was like McDavid. He was getting a lot of penalties, and he was arguing with guys and referees, and all of a sudden he said, whoa, wait a minute, these guys are trying to get me off the ice. And that's what they try to do with McDavid, try to get him. And that's why he got that elbow. I mean, you know, he's sick of it. He's just sick of the whole thing.
He's sick of losing. He's sick of everybody running at him.
Guys running at him. But Crosby all of a sudden said, whoa, wait a minute. And you know, Orpik, I think that was the boy, did Orpik ever hit him. Remember he spun? And I'm the only guy, well, naturally, I'm the only guy at television.
Yeah, that was, people don't remember, it was the outdoor game, remember?
Oh, that's right, too, yeah.
And Crosby never had really, he didn't have too many injuries before then.
No, he didn't have, he did, and I don't think he had an... a concussion.
Yeah, and I think it was like the whistle blew, and he was going east, and Orpik was going west.
And I said, I come on television, I said, he did that on purpose. Well, first of all, if you hit a guy and going off and the whistle, like it was just at the end of the whistle, I mean, Orpik didn't even look back.
Yeah, like if you run into a guy by accident.
At least you look back.
Yeah.
And I remember Crosby spinning around. I mean,
he got his shoulder right in his jaw.
Right in the jaw. No, I like Ovechkin. Don't get me wrong. This is not to put Ovechkin down because he's going to win this Maurice Richard trophy again. So this is not putting him down. But I always liked Crosby. I always did. I even liked him when he was running around giving everybody. And all of a sudden, he smartened up. And that's what McDavid better. You know, that's what he'll do. He'll smarten up too.
Well, people don't realize, and you remember this, Cindy, that you had a running feud with.
Well, that's what I was just gonna say. I remember when he first came into the league, and you were criticized for criticizing or mentioning about
Tim Hortons. I remember Tim Hortons. Well, the story was that Tim Hortons went to the. He said, "Wait a minute, we're paying Crosby all this money, our star." He's our star, and he still is the star. Remember, he drives the Zamboni. He said, and then you got your star criticizing him. I said, I'm telling the truth.
What were you saying about him?
Well, I was saying about him, he stopped giving the referees heck. Stopped.
I think you said whining. Was that the word you used?
Whining all the time. But after Orpik, I did Subban too. I was called a racist. And I liked Subban since he a terrific defenseman. I just said he didn't belong in Montreal.
And for people to say, you stuck up for him when Babcock didn't want to take him over to the Olympics.
Oh, yeah. And you said,
you won the Norris Trophy, you got to take him. And Babcock just said, no, I'm not taking him.
Babcock, the story goes that he did not want St. Louis, St. Louis.
Yep.
And he did not want Subban. So they said, wait a minute, hold it. One wins the scoring title, and one's the best defenseman. And you say you don't want them? He said, well, I don't care. Send them over. And I was at the practice where he told St. Louis he wasn't playing that night, and he went right off the ice. St. Louis went right off the ice, and he told Subban, but Subban's pretty smart. He just stayed on the ice and everything like that, but he didn't play them.
I ask you, did you take offense when Subban was imitating you on the commercial?
No, I thought it was great.
Because a lot of people were worried, like, oh, what did your dad think of Subban making fun of your dad and all that?
But I liked when he said, well, he's not Orr.
He had, I got to tell you, folks, you should Google that if you hadn't seen it. He had you down pat, man. He really did.
He did, and you know what? He's going to be great on television.
He is. You can see he has a future in television.
Yeah, and he's playing good this year. He's playing okay this year.
But getting back to Sidney Crosby, didn't he, in the beginning when he broke into the league, didn't he sort of hot dog it too a little bit?
I remember now that you bring it up, he did score a goal, that one of those lacrosse ones, you know, from behind.
Oh, that was it, yeah.
And I think of the kid's mother and dad watching that there, and you know what?
He made a fool out of the goalie.
He never did it again, though.
Yeah, he made a fool out of the goalie. That's what you were mad at.
Yeah, the goalie's looking around for the buckets.
Well, it was a big issue there when you criticized him because he was the golden boy back then.
And, oh, yeah. Well, and he's still the golden boy.
Still the golden boy.
So anyhow,
they even got mad at you calling him the golden boy. Remember that, Tim? They're upset because you said, oh, the golden boy. That's how you referred to him. And they even took offense to that.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is, you gave it to Ovechkin pretty good.
When he scored that goal and he dropped a stick and he let on, it was on fire.
I said,
think of the kid in the goal, how he felt.
It was a rookie.
Was he a rookie?
Yeah, his name was Mike McKinnon. He was a rookie. And somebody just did an article on him, and he was quoted. I was mad about it. I feel like I was already embarrassed enough. I'm a first year player trying to do my best out here, and this guy's crushing me. I honestly think if I'd been more comfortable in the league, I would have slashed that stick into the next zip code. Know what I mean? But you're in the moment reaction. You're mad, and I was just what the moment really. And then he goes, I wasn't surprised that the media criticized him. This is McKenna saying it. It's funny, Don Cherry defended my dignity in Hockey Night in Canada. I never expected my name being mentioned by Don Cherry.
So once again,
I must have been pretty famous back then.
I know. They value your opinion. And you were the only one that would call guys famous stars on.
But I like Ovechkin. You're right, Cindy. You're right.
But like if you were, like right now, you would take Crosby over Ovechkin?
I'd take Crosby. I think the world of Crosby, you know what? He's a back checker. He back checks and he scores goals. And
he's tough.
And he's tough. But he learned. He learned. And McDavid will learn. There's no sense in going after guys getting fined $5,000. I know that's pocket money to those guys. They're making.
I think he makes more than $5,000 a game.
Yeah. Oh, he makes more than that. But. Oh, no, he makes more. But anyhow, you just don't do that stuff. And he'll learn like Crosby. I think it took Crosby about 4 or 5 years before. Yeah. You don't do that stuff because you're going to have to take the abuse. If you're the best player, Bobby Orr took it. The only thing is he gave it out.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, as you said, Crosby in his whole career, only once was he a minus player, and that was minus one. And Ovechkin's been minus, I think, 5 or 6 times in his career.
Yeah, I Dale Hunter told him that he had to be a hockey player. You have to. But, hey, I'll tell you, when he can score those goals from that right point, I don't understand why guys don't get over them. But he's smart. He'll go and stand in front of the net. You know, he's pretty smart. He stands in front of the net. If they start going there, he'll go and stand. He's a good goal scorer. He can put the puck in the net. But the best scorer I ever saw, pure scorer, was Mike Bossy. Mike Bossy from, I mean, he could.
Yeah, for the Islanders, he was, people don't know, he was the second player in history to get 50 goals in 50 games.
I remember he got it, and he was the best scorer I ever saw. Phil wasn't bad either. He got 65 goals. Funny thing is, they never talk about Phil Esposito, eh, Tim?
No, he's kind of
76 goals, and he says, oh, that's really exceptional, you know, that, and he must think, wait a minute, I got 76. Of course, there was a lot of tip-ins with Bobby's shot from the point. 76 goals, and then he got 65 goals the next game. 65, you know, and he said, well, you're having a bad year.
Well, wouldn't you think that if he had been on any other team that he would have been shown a lot more?
Well, he went to New York.
Right.
And went, I think he got 30. I mean.
So yeah, he did get a lot of rebounds.
Yeah, it was just for some reason. But I always say that. Hockey's not like baseball or football that kind of takes their older players and hold them in reverence. The NHL doesn't do that. They do a very poor job doing that.
They like Phil Esposito. Phil Esposito. I traded him, but he still got 65 goals. And then you know what they said after? Is, well, you're having a bad year. He got 76 goals a year before. Phil Esposito. You put the puck in front of the net, you get the rebound. What did they have? They had on their bumpers all the time.
Oh, that's right.
What did they say?
Jesus saves, but Espo gets the rebound.
Yeah. All over Boston.
Yeah, all over Boston. That was on the T-shirt.
Yeah, he was. And people don't realize that if you're not from Boston, that Boston has a very large Italian.
And Irish.
Irish, but they have a very large Italian population, and they just love Phil.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to tell one last story. I know we're going a little long here. I have such fun doing it. I'm going to tell a story. I don't know. What I care. So I'm on the bench, and this guy, and across the bench, up, I would say, 30 rows, he's giving it to Phil. You can't believe. Every time. And Phil used to be upset about the shot clock. Remember the shot clock?
Oh, yes.
I'm getting off. But anyhow, this guy used to give Phil. And
because you have to realize it was screen. It wasn't glass then. It was screen behind.
And I remember this guy. And I said, well, this guy's giving it to you, Phil. So the next game, no guy. The guy wasn't there. And I said to Cash, Wayne Cashman, I said, Whatever happened to that guy? He says, don't ask. It was a tough town. And then they had the gallery gods. Remember that? The gallery gods up above. And it was a great time. We had a great, and that Boston Gardens, it was like you could whisper and you could hear. It was a fight. It was for fights, eh?
Yeah, they built it originally for boxing. And that's why you're like literally like, it was terrifying walking.
It was steep.
So steep.
The steepness of it.
Oh, yeah.
And that was because, so you could sit. It's like you go to the games now and, you know, the person that's sitting in front of you.
They're made for basketball.
Is that it? Well, I don't know. Basketball people have to see too, is that the person that's sitting in front of you, you're looking at the back of their head.
Yeah.
But in the gardens, you could see they were down lower.
There was only one stadium that had steeper. I was up in it. Was the Hershey, or the old Hershey. And boy, you could see any place at all. You could see the game. And it was so steep that you're up above. If you ever trip, you're dead.
Yeah.
But nobody ever fell. And
they drank in Boston, too. Oh, boy. Drink during the game? I mean, that was...
You know, I must tell a story next week about Bronco Horvath. But Bronco, we got a lot of letters. You never mentioned Bronco Horvath. And I want to tell a story about, I guess we got to go. But anyhow, I'll tell a story next week about Bronco Horvath. I want to end with Bobby Schmott scoring the biggest goal. I remember it was right along the ice. He just zipped her home on Kenny Dryden. And when was it? What game was it?
Game four of the 78. Montreal was up 2-1, and this one tied her up.
Yeah, and he's put her in, and this is Bobby Schmott's. Yeah, I loved him.
Shot wide. Here's Schmott's guy to clear it. Robinson's blocked. Blocked by Clark. Up to Shepard with Clark. Shepard moving in. Centers to Clark. 54!